Welcome to another episode of The Coiling Solution. Thank you for tuning in. Today's show is jam-packed and really going to cover three topics today. Number one, just got to talk a little bit about the evolution and frequency of ghosting. What is ghosting? Why do some do it? And how might you take it if you're on the receiving end of being ghosted? Two, want to talk about some leadership opportunities in terms of training that are coming to market for leaders and how you might position yourself to take advantage of it. And then thirdly, last but not least, want to talk about how you grow your profile appropriately on social platforms. Hard to deny that if you're living in this day and time, social media is pervasive and using it professionally is a must. And so without further ado, let's jump into the show. I want to talk a little bit about the topic of ghosting. And I guess for a few reasons, over the last several months, I've seen some interesting behavior in terms of ghosting. One, people scheduling actual interviews, first interviews by Zoom, and then not showing up for intern roles, volunteer roles, things such as that. And initially, you start to ask yourself, is it just me? Well, I actually started asking other people about their experiences. And then I did some searching, as always, to see what kind of information was out there. And no, it is not just me, unfortunately. And by the way, if you're not familiar with what ghosting is, by definition, it is the concept of abruptly ending communication without some explanation. Okay, so you're in a communication process with someone, you actually have expectations in many cases of continuing that conversation, and then you just end the conversation, walk away from it totally without any further response. So that's the technical definition of ghosting. According to a 2018 study, approximately 25% of men and women reported having been ghosted in a romantic relationship, and 22% admit to having ghosted someone else. So this is so interesting. So on the one hand, 25% of people saying, I've been ghosted, but then if I'm honest, I've also been the ghoster. The Federal Reserve even recognized the phenomenon in a 2018 report in which employers reported being ghosted by employees in a tight labor market. So it's not just romantic relationships, casual relationships with friends. It is happening on the employment side. And so that drove me to ask the question of why. I had an initial thought, but I really wanted to dig deeper. And so here's some information from Psychology Today that I think is pretty interesting. People respond to being ghosted in many ways, from feeling indifferent to deeply portrayed. So that's the person on the other side of being ghosted. That's their response. But why might people do it? The reason often has to do more with the ghoster than the ghostee. So those who've been on the receiving end feel better. You didn't do anything. It's often, more often, about the ghoster. It spares that individual from confrontation, taking responsibility, or engaging in the emotional labor of empathy. Just think about that for a second. So from the ghoster's perspective, let's call them the offender, to be clear, the ghoster who cuts off communication. Cutting off communication spares the individual from confrontation, taking responsibility, or engaging in the emotional labor of empathy. And so I'd like to turn this on its head for a moment and talk about the opportunities for ghosters. The fact is that within your life, whether it's for employment as noted, whether it's for romantic relationships, whether it's for casual relationships, the fact is confrontation is a natural part of life. And if you want to make it feel better for you, let's call it healthy confrontation. Times when you need to engage in something that does not feel good, but it has the potential to have great outcomes. And so don't give away your opportunity to grow that muscle, grow the muscle of being able to partake in healthy confrontation. The second thing is, it said, taking responsibility. So the ghoster walks away from taking responsibility. Well, I don't think I have to elaborate too much on that. We all know we want to grow our ability to accept, execute rightfully responsibility. So you forfeit that as a ghoster. You forfeit growing that muscle. No, take the opportunity. Don't forfeit it. And then thirdly, engaging in the emotional labor of empathy. I've talked about empathy a number of times on my show, and I think It's so important because when we talk about understanding where someone else is, I think there's several steps to get to empathy. There's hearing, so audibly hearing what someone has to say. There is listening, right? Where you listen, you hear it. There's effective listening, where you listen and often play back parts of it to ensure you understood what the person was trying to communicate. And then there is empathy, feeling what they feel. It is, to me, the deepest level of conversation where you actually begin to feel. Think about that. You feel in your body. You feel in your mind. Dare I say, you feel in your heart what that person is experiencing. By being a ghoster, you move away from developing that muscle as well. And so my encouragement to you, family, my encouragement to us as a body, particularly a body of believers, but even if you're listening to this show, because I know some of you haven't come to Jesus yet, that's okay. I'm going to keep working on you, by the way. I will always be working on you. Even as a professional in a professional environment, ghosting forfeits your opportunity for growth. My encouragement to you is take that opportunity to grow your ability to be engaged in healthy confrontation, to grow your ability to be responsible, to grow your ability to deal with emotional labor and share empathy. A couple pieces of news for you as well, some career news. I think there's a wonderful leadership development opportunity for you on the way. Many organizations across the world, there was a recent survey just a couple weeks ago by the Hackett Group that said HR leaders across the world have placed first the development of effective leaders as their top priority for 2024. Think about that. Organizations have said for 2024, their top priority is the development of effective leaders. The report, which garnered responses from over 375 executives, found that 65% are prioritizing the development of, quote, effective leaders for a changing business and workplace, end quote. So good. Why is it so good, Trigg, you ask? I'm so glad you asked. Because we are seeing phenomenal shifts in the work environment. Whether you think about work from home and back to office and all the things that that encompasses, whether you think about AI and generative AI, whether you think about other emerging technologies, not only is there a lot of change, the pace of change in and of itself has become more rapid. Developing leaders who can oversee that change and the mix of what it does for people, the mix of what it does for infrastructure, the mix of technology that is unaided versus aided, the mix of the financial impacts, the regulatory impacts, the risk profiles and everything involved, developing leaders who can understand that is so essential. And so the fact that organizations are ponying up saying we must make this our top priority means that you, my friend, have the opportunity to get some learning at no cost. I love low cost, zero cost learning that is also given to me so I can not only be more effective tomorrow, but more effective today. So I encourage you, take advantage of that. If your organization is not already talking about it, the article is from the Hackett Group. Excuse me, the poll is from the Hackett Group. So you can Google that, find the poll, share it with your boss, your leader, your manager, your HR business partner, etc., and ensure that you sign up to be early. One of the things you can always do, you don't have to wait for it to come to you inside the organization. Go ask for it, because that way you might be a big, you might be able to be a part of the first class, okay? Be a part of the first cohort and help design. And so leaders lead, get in front of it. One other thing I want to tell you is that this is Women's History Month. I know you know this, but I need to say it out loud to make sure that everyone knows this. We are celebrating History Month. If you go to holyculture.net and go down to the feature section, you'll see all the things we're talking about for Women's Month. There's a couple things we're trying to do. One, talk to leaders in industry, understand their journeys. Matter of fact, next week, I'm going to have Elise Awad, the CEO of DeVry University, talk about her journey from thinking about this, being an administrative rep, being an admissions rep, who used to take the phone calls to help new students think about coming into the school, to evolving to president and CEO over the course of years. Her dedication, the things she's learned, the lessons she harnessed and passed on to her mentees, such a good conversation. The second thing we're doing is also asking women who are CHH artists to share stories and such about those that have inspired them, I think you will enjoy. So go holyculture.net right down to the features section and you will see what we're doing for Women's Month. I'll be back after some music and we're going to go into the career clinic. And again, what do you need to learn so you can leverage social media for your professional career? If you do not have the Holy Culture Radio app, I implore you to download it right now. It is critical you have it on your mobile phone, on the homepage. So when you open up your phone, you go right into the app. Like, you should open your phone and then click on the Holy Culture Radio app and check out what's going on between all the wonderful shows, the music mixes, etc. I think it is a valuable part of your day. So as I said at the top of the show, today's career clinic is about how do you leverage social media for your career? How do you leverage social media for your career? It's difficult for any of us to deny, again, that social media is pervasive. We use it constantly, sometimes without even thought, right? It's hard to be anywhere now, even at a stoplight and look to the left or right sometime and not see people looking down at their phones. And often it is social media. But how do you use it for your professional career? We've gathered some information that we think will be good tips for you, for people who like to outline while I'm talking. I'm going to give you eight tips that I think that will help you. So tip number one, clean house. As you grow and think about from where you may have been from when social media first started and the pictures and such you posted then to where you are now could be drastically different. Just take some diligence, do a review, and decide what you may need to clean out, particularly if you are working on professional growth and particularly the professional platform. So you may think a little differently about Facebook versus LinkedIn, etc. But overall, do consider this. People, when they go to interview you and consider you for a role, are going to look at your social media. That's not even a question anymore. It's not about waiting for, it used to be a mail courier to come and, you know, looking at the envelope and is the envelope a nicer envelope? Is the paper for the resume nice? Or is the lettering right? Are the lines written correctly? We've advanced a lot. A lot is online, email, and looking at a person and get a chance to see who they are before I begin to work with them. I mean, think about that from an employer's perspective. We used to interview people and hope that within 30, 45 minute, 1 hour interview and maybe a number of them and then spread across a number of people that we have a sense of who that person is beyond their accomplishment and things they've done and experiences. We want to know, can I work with this person? Well, now people are using social media to help inform that judgment call. And so please think about it that way. If the person goes to your social media page, does it tell the story about you that you want told? That's tip number one. Tip number two, pick the platform. Of course, you can be on all platforms, but one thing is for sure, a primary platform is highly advised. You can spread yourself way too thin trying to do all things on all platforms. Pick a primary platform where you're going to grow your social media presence. LinkedIn obviously is recommended with 900 million users in 200 countries. Hard to deny the pervasiveness of LinkedIn and what it means in professional areas. And it also has the ability to post articles and create newsletters and such as well. So not only can you be there, show who you are, you can author and create content, which is key. Step three, build a strong presence. So once you have your information up, so on and so forth, it's about then how you communicate. And one of the things I would say is do what you do and talk about it. Be who you are and talk about it. The things in your professional life that make sense that you do, your skills, your accomplishments, events you may be attending, conferences, so on and so forth, post about it. Talk about it. What did you gain from the conference? What did you learn at the webinar? What is a tip or so you may want to pass on to others that work in a similar area, such as you? Tip four, optimize your profile. Even if you're on LinkedIn, LinkedIn does work with SEO, meaning search engine optimization. It is looking for things to understand what to match with you, where to draw you forward in other people's feeds, etc. And so optimize your profile. Make sure you use keywords and such in your profile that match with others you want to connect with. So if you're in industry A, what are some of the buzzwords in industry A that may make sense for you to put within your profile? Use a high quality image. I'm going to say that one again. Use a high quality image, not the image from the barbecue where you crop everyone out and then you have your photo. No, use a high quality image, take a picture. And it's not, you know, back in the day where we needed to go to a photographer studio, a Sears or something else, and take a photo. You can get a good quality image with most mobile phones today. So pick a background, be somewhere nice, have someone, a family member, loved one, etc., take several photos, go on to Canva, brush it up a little bit, and move on. But high quality photo. If you need some tips on that, SEM Rush has a great guide on how to do the quality photos as well as the SEO. So SEM Rush is a great resource for that. Tip five, share engaging content. Sounds like a no-brainer, of course. Share engaging content, though. I mentioned some of it before. Conferences you may have attended, webinars you've been at, what'd you learn? What were the experiences? Would you recommend it to someone else? And why? Share engaging content. Always look to add value to others in your community, in your industry. What did you learn that maybe people aren't uptaking on? As you see topics discussed, what can you contribute? Do you have questions about it? Do you see it slightly differently? Have you had a slightly different experience? Add to those conversations for the point of adding value to others who do what you do. Tip six, engage in those industry conversations. So not only do you need to author things and create new, but engage in the conversation, and particularly industry conversations. Let me underscore industry conversations. So one of the things you'll find is most industries have different groups inside of LinkedIn. I'm just going to stay with LinkedIn as the, let's call it our preferred social source for professionals. Most industries have user groups. So if you're in the financial services industry, you'll find tons of financial groups and even niche down to different areas in financial services, right? So if you're on credit card, you'll find a credit card professionals group. If you're in lending, you'll find a lending professionals group. Get into those groups, subscribe to those groups. That way you'll get in your feed conversations that are happening, and then you can be in the conversation. And you may say to yourself, well, why would I want to do that? Why? Because if there are groups and those groups are growing and they're thriving, guess what? It contains a lot of the executives typically who are leaders in that industry. And those are the people you want to make sure know you, you know them, etc. And by the way, I'm a huge proponent of when you are in the interview process, you are also interviewing the company. You are trying to see if the culture matches up to what they say it is. The values are actually being lived out, etc. Therefore, this gives you the chance to better understand the companies by looking at their leaders in these industry groups, etc., and starting to make a list of the companies that you think you want to work with, think you want to work for. But then as you experience things, some may flow to the top. And guess what? Some may drop to the bottom. Tip number seven, follow those companies and influencers, as I just said. As you're now in those industry discussions, those forums, etc., inside of LinkedIn, begin to follow those that make sense to you, right? Because so now you go from this large industry vertical to spreading across maybe 8-10 companies and influencers that you say, yes, these people are emulating some of the things that I wish to emulate or do. These people are talking about regularly topics that I want to be engaged in. These folks have a point of view that I appreciate and believe I can learn from. So follow companies and influencers. And tip eight, last but not least, collaborate. And I would add collaborate carefully. One of the things about collaborations should be, as a standard, you have gotten to know the person a little bit before you decide to collaborate on a post, do a video together, so on and so forth. But collaborations are powerful. As we know, listen, the more people we add, we get closer to creating a fist versus using a singular finger. So collaborate carefully. Again, continue to purposely and with intention grow in your career, family, and you too, yes, you can leverage social media to grow as a professional.